My life's in you, my strength's in you, my hope's in you, in you.
This is a presentation of the Durham Church of Christ in Durham, North Carolina. We are located at 5224 Wake Forest Highway. If you are ever in the Durham area, we hope that you will come by and visit us.
In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. This was the life of the Apostle Paul. Everywhere he went, oftentimes persecution would follow. And if it did not follow immediately, it would eventually catch up to him. Sometimes it took a while until the persecution really began to pour on to the Apostle Paul, to the point that he had to leave. Brethren had to escort him out of the city. But how did Paul get through all these times of difficulties? How did Paul get through a lifestyle filled with the type of language that we just read beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23? Well, he'll go on to tell us in the book of Philippians, Philippians 4 and verse 12, I know how both to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul learned that when he was low, when he was at the most difficult moments in his life, it would be through the strength which Christ provides that he could make it through. But also, while he was abounding, that is, when times were good, Paul likewise did not forget the Lord, but he continued to remain faithful by the strength which is provided through Christ. Then he was able to write what he did to Timothy in the second epistle he addressed to Timothy, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 4, that he had fought the good fight, he had finished his course, and he had kept the faith. Henceforth, there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, would give him in that day. How did Paul get through it all? Ultimately, at the end of the day, it would be his strength would be through Christ. And it would be his mindset, one that we see him echo in a letter that we'll study in just a moment, but one we also see echoed throughout the book of Psalms. And that is the declaration that I shall not be moved. The psalmist states in Psalm 30, verse 6, and in my prosperity I said, notice, in good times and in bad times, I shall never be moved. Friends and brethren, do you go through difficult times? Do you ever wake up in the morning and somewhat dread the day because you know it's just going to be filled with difficulties? Do you sometimes feel as though you have no energy left to find or to dig up and you're just going to fall over? Do you ever feel as though you've been stabbed in the back so many times you might as well not even have a back anymore? That you've been persecuted, you've been mistreated, and you just don't see how there's going to be a way out? I'm here to tell us this morning that if we felt that way, we can put ourselves in the same camp as the Apostle Paul. And we can also put ourselves in the same camp of many godly men and women who served the Lord and went through such difficulties and such trying times. But those that remained faithful did so because they had the attitude that is being proclaimed here in Psalm 30 and verse 6. I shall never be moved. How can we get through the difficult times? How can we accept and embrace and live such an attitude? Well, number one, we can determine. We can determine within ourselves now that we will never be moved. That there is nothing that is going to cause us to forsake our God. There is nothing that is going to come upon us that is going to cause us to reject God and His commandments and give up on serving Him. See, the time to decide such a thing does not come about when we are in the midst of a difficult time. It didn't come about for Paul when he was in the midst of all those persecutions and all those struggles. No. Paul had to make up his mind in the very beginning that he was going to serve the Lord through all the difficulties because the Lord made it plain. The Lord had told Ananias in Acts chapter 9 how great things Paul would have to suffer for the name of Christ. Paul knew what he was getting into when he began to serve Christ and the kingdom belonging to Christ. But he had already determined, he had already made up his mind, he was not going to be moved. We see multiple verses throughout the book of Psalms where the psalmist is declaring, I shall not be moved. Notice Psalm 16 in verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Chapter 62 in verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. The determination, the decision, the declaration is being made in the very beginning. Not in the midst of trying times. Now, certainly we might be reminded of such. But brethren, if we're going to be faithful, we have to decide to be faithful now. We can't wait until we're in the midst of trouble to then decide whether or not we want to be faithful to the Lord. We have to make up our mind ahead of time and determine that no matter what comes about, we are not going to be moved. It's been said before that no matter how loud and wild the wind howls and moves, the mountains will never bow to it. Do we have that type of attitude? Do we have the type of mindset that it doesn't matter what the circumstances are in my life, I am going to remain firm and strong? Well, we must. Because if we wait until that time comes about, we're going to be in for a surprise. If we don't determine now, then something that comes along that is very dire, very difficult, very trying might just take us away from the Lord. We might be like that hireling that Jesus talks about in John chapter 10. In verse 12 he says, but he is that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. In other words, the hireling was watching the sheep until something bad came along. And when something bad came along, when something difficult came along, rather than doing his job, rather than laying down his neck for the lives of the sheep, the hireling was gone. Why? It's too hard. It's too difficult. My football coach used to say, men, if it was easy, everybody would do it. Well, there's a little truth to that, isn't there? Folks, if being a Christian was easy, everybody in the world would be a Christian. But it's not easy. And it's not going to be easy. And we have to determine now that if something worse comes along, it doesn't matter. We're not going to be moved. But what about something better? What if something better comes along? See, if we don't determine now, something better might come along and then we might just forsake the Lord. The Proverbs writer writes this in chapter 30, starting in verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Lord, I don't want to be rich and I don't want to be poor. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lord, I just want what's going to get me through the day. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? The Proverbs writer notices, if I'm going to be filled with money all about me, if I'm going to have all these possessions all about me. Now this is Solomon writing this. The richest man to ever live is writing this. But he is acknowledging that he doesn't want wealth beyond his imagination. Because he realizes if he does so, and if he gets to that point, he might then cross the line where he begins to say, well, who is the Lord? I've made all this money. I'm the one that's done all this. And begin to forsake God. But see, the determination must begin before that time ever comes about. Friends and brethren, we are instructed in the Bible how to be rich. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Sometimes I think we struggle when all of a sudden we come into some money. Whether it be through working hard, whether it be through a good education and we've worked our way up the ladder, whether it be from a family inheritance, whatever it may have been. Sometimes that money lands in our lap and all of a sudden we forget the Lord. We forsake the Lord. And part of that is because we have not determined ahead of time, Lord, it doesn't matter how much I'm given, I know how to be rich and be godly as you have instructed me so. There's nothing wrong with being rich, folks. God wouldn't give instructions to the rich if there was something wrong with being rich. He tells the rich how to be rich. We need to practice, learn, and study how to do so ourselves so that we can be determining ahead of time that when that time comes, we're still going to be faithful. We're not going to be moved. If we don't determine now that we are not going to be moved, we might just forget the Lord. Do you know that we can forget the Lord? We can just forget God. We can forget His commandments. I had an instructor in school tell me one time, brethren, if you don't use it, you lose it. Well, in a sense, that's what Peter's telling us. Peter explains to us that he's writing to them so that he might remind them. He says in verse 13 of chapter 1 of his second epistle, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He's trying to remind them. Folks, we need to be reminded of the Lord every day. I don't think there's ever going to come a time when I can say, you know what, I don't need to hear that about God. I've heard that 100 times. I don't need to hear that. I got other things to do. Folks, when I've reached that point, I'm in trouble. I am in big trouble. And then I go down that path where I start forgetting the Lord. Because I have not made up my mind ahead of time to determine to be faithful to Him. To not move away from Him. God told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Notice, pay attention to yourself, God's saying. You know, sometimes we spend so much attention, time, and effort paying attention to other folks. He's saying, you give attention, you give diligence to yourself. Notice, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. What's one of the ways that we can remember the Lord's commandments? Teach them. Now, folks, we are mistaken if we think we don't have to teach the gospel. We see in Matthew chapter 28, very clearly, Jesus starts in verse 18 and explains that all authority has been given unto Him. He then tells the apostles to go into all the world. He tells them to go to every nation. He tells them to teach them and to baptize them, to make disciples out of them. And then He tells them in verse 20 to teach those who they have just taught and baptized everything that Jesus had taught them. What had He just taught them? To go teach others. Now here's the hang up. We think teaching is standing here in this pulpit. I got news, it's not. That's not the only form of teaching. As a matter of fact, it's been suggested some of the best teaching goes on outside of this pulpit. I was told at one time, the most loud, the most effective, and the most powerful sermon you'll ever preach is the one you live. And folks, if we are not recognizing ourselves as teachers, guess what? We are going to start to forget. Folks, there's somebody out there that we can teach. They might not want to hear it, but we can teach them. We can tell them about God. We can tell them about Jesus and about the gospel. If we don't determine now that we will not be moved, we just might forget. But we can't just determine that we're not going to be moved. We have to develop that mindset. And that requires action. That requires a plan, right? Folks may determine all kinds of things. I might determine that I want to go to Ireland. But if I just determine that and don't do anything about it, don't make any development toward it, guess what? I'm never going to get to Ireland. We have to make developmental decisions in order to act upon that which we have determined. And so once we've determined we're not going to be moved, that's the first step. We then have to begin to develop that. How do we do it? Well, we can understand how Paul did and what he commanded the Corinthians to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now this book is very interesting. In this book, Paul, chapter after chapter after chapter, rebukes the Corinthians. The Corinthians have got a lot wrong. They need to be corrected. They're puffed up. They think they're high and mighty. They think because they're so tolerant and, quote, loving and forgiving and ignoring sin, that makes them so great. And Paul is rebuking them. They're divisive. They're creating parties and cliques amongst themselves. They think just because they can do the miraculous, that makes them some mighty macho person. Well, all the while, Paul is saying, you're failing to recognize what it's all about. It's all about love, chapter 13. But after all that rebuke, after all that correction, after all that he did in getting onto them, how is he going to build them back up? He doesn't leave them down there on the ground. Notice what he states in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. I know we have some bikers in this audience. I'm not much of a biker. I probably couldn't make it beyond 20 miles, which that sounds like a lot to you folks who aren't familiar with biking, but believe it or not, that's nothing when it comes to biking. Some of these bikers bike hundreds of miles in a day. But if you're going to bike, you have to be steadfast. Think about a race, maybe the Tour de France. If they're going to go out there and race, if they just are not steadfast, if they're not focused on the finish line, if they're not focused on the rules and on the boundaries, they might just decide they're going to start just riding around all over France, just enjoying the atmosphere and the beautiful creation and the lovely scenery. Well, they're not steadfast in the race. In order to be steadfast, what do they have to do? They have to have their mind continuously focused where? Upon that finish line, upon the end. And upon that which is required of them so that they won't be disqualified from the race. Well, if we're going to be steadfast in our faithfulness to God, we have to keep our eye on the prize. Remember what Paul stated in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, a crown is laid up for me. Folks, when we're having difficulty, when we might are struggling to develop that mindset and that attitude of, I shall not be moved, let us put our mind on the prize. Paul writes to the Colossians in Colossians 3 and verse 2, set your affection on things above, not upon things on the earth. In other words, get your head in the clouds. Put your mind in heaven. Think about God and spirituality, not upon this physical earth and the temporal things. We have to be steadfast. But then he goes on, unmovable. Unmovable. Do you know of something that is unmovable? Well, everything here physically upon this earth is movable to some degree. But you know, I think about a lighthouse. Think about all the waves and all the storms that come about that lighthouse, that beat upon and crash upon that coast time after time after time after time. But does that lighthouse move? It stands tall, And it remains a light and a beacon out into the waters, seeking those ships that are needing safety. Do we consider ourselves unmovable? Because guess what? When we're being hit the hardest with the hardest storm, guess who needs safety more than ever at that point? The ships out in the sea. Folks, when we're being beat down in life, when Satan's coming after us full speed ahead, there might just be a soul out there waiting, looking for that light that we are required to be. Matthew chapter 5. Are we unmovable? But then Paul goes on, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The word abounding means to just continuously overflow. A constant, forever, continual motion of increase. Makes me think of those geysers or some of those oil wells out there in the Middle East that seem to never end. They're just constantly billowing out oil. Well, God tells us that we are to be always abounding, increasing, overflowing, notice, in the work of the Lord. The word work there, labor there, means to toil to the point of reducing strength. Think about that. Have you ever got done at the end of a day and you're beat tired and you say, I'm exhausted? I mean, we all do, right? Just about every day. Well, guess what? That's toil. That's labor. And folks, when we're out there making a living for our families, when we're providing for our families, we're doing the work of the Lord. We're doing what God has commanded of us by providing for our family, by honoring our wives, by taking care of our children. And so when we then are drained of energy, we don't need to pat ourselves on the back, but we can smile, because guess what that equals? Labor. And always abounding. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that brings us to our final point. Folks, if we're never going to be moved, we must depend. But it's interesting as we think about this, and before we get into it, that not only do the righteous proclaim loudly that they will never be moved, but notice Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10, we see there in verse 4, the psalmist is discussing the wicked. And then we learn in verse 9, he lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. And so the passage there is discussing the wicked. But notice verse 6. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. Guess what? The wicked, they're saying the same thing. They're saying they're not going to move either. So ultimately, at the end of the day, what does it really boil down to? It boils down to who is depending on the Lord. Because the one that is proclaiming, I shall not be moved, all the while is gaining his strength and his ability to not be moved from the Lord, is going to be the one that stands. Is going to be the one that makes it through. And that's why Paul states what he says. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the Lord. If you're laboring in the Lord, it's not in vain. Notice verse 57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then notice verse 58. Therefore. I was always taught, whenever you see therefore, you always ask, what's it there for? So Paul then goes on to say, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why, Paul? Because your victory is in Jesus Christ. Why, Paul? Because you can through Jesus. Because if you depend upon Jesus, you can be unmovable. You can be steadfast. You can be always abounding. And folks, we need to understand what this means. We need to understand that the godly, they're going to say they can't be moved either. But at the end of the day, we're all going to be moved physically. And that's why Jesus told us, fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Matthew 10 and verse 28. At the end of the day, we really can be unmovable. We really can proclaim, I shall not be moved. Because it does not matter what comes upon us physically. It does not matter what comes upon us emotionally. It does not matter what comes upon us stress-wise, financially, whatever it might be. Those are physical things. And at the end of the day, no one can touch our will, not even God. So we can always determine, no matter what's happening around us, that we will not be moved in the Lord. And even if our lives are taken from us, if we're faithful, we're not going to be moved. We're not going anywhere. The psalmist, just as Paul did, proclaims likewise that his dependence, his confidence that he is not going to be moved is because of God. Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Notice, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Because the Lord is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Psalm 62 and verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Then he states, I shall not be moved. What is the confidence built in? It's built in God. Brethren, we have the opportunity to be a mountain for the Lord. Regardless of what comes before us, regardless of what we have to face on our day-to-day lives or in a long extended period of life, we can proclaim, I shall not be moved. And if it's based upon the victory of Jesus, that will hold true all the way till the end. The question is for us this morning, have we determined that we're not going to be moved? Have you determined this morning, made up your mind this morning, that you're not going to be moved? If you have, that's great. But have you begun to develop that determination? Have you begun to act upon that determination? Not just by saying it or thinking it, but by doing the commandments of God. God explains to us that if we do His will, then God is not going to say unto us, depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness, but rather we will have a home in heaven. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Folks, it takes more than just saying, Lord, Lord. It takes determination and development, and at the end of the day, full and total dependence upon God. If we're ever going to be able to proclaim, I shall not be moved. Are you standing with Jesus this morning? Have you put on Jesus this morning? We learn in Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27 that we put on Jesus by being baptized into Jesus. Have you done so? Not baptized into some other body of people, not baptized based upon the commandments of men, but baptized based upon the doctrine of Christ for the remission of your sins, to be added to the church that Jesus built. Are you in that boat this morning? If you're not, determine this morning to come in to God's house, to God's spiritual family, becoming a child of His by being baptized for the remission of your sins. Have you already been baptized? Maybe you began to develop your relationship with God, began to develop an attitude of, I shall not be moved. But then the storms came. The difficulties came about. And rather than depending upon God, you began to depend upon the temporal, physical things of this life. Have you left your God? Have you left the victory in Jesus? If you have, come home. Come back to the winning side. We'll receive you with open arms, love, care, and prayer. And we want to, deeply. If you have any spiritual need this morning, please come forward. So all together we stand and sing.